Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first of four quarterly All-In Payments calls scheduled for 2025. My name is Catherine Jett. I'll be your moderator for today's call. Next slide, please. Before we go over the agenda and welcome our presenter for the call, we would like to cover a few helpful logistics or housekeeping items. First off, today's call is scheduled for 60 minutes. It's being recorded and transcribed. Now, as a reminder, for the Ticket Program Agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I, IN staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. The transcript for today's call, along with the audio recording, PowerPoint presentation, and recap, will be available in a few weeks on the Your Ticket to Work website. You can locate that under Training and Events. Just click on Archives, National Calls, IN Payments Calls, and then look for the date, February 4th, 2025, quarterly All-In Payments call. Now, everyone who has signed up for the GovDelivery announcements will also receive a GovDelivery blast as soon as all items are posted to the website. Now, during today's call, we're going to have an interactive Q&A session. Now, all participants with questions will need to ask their question aloud, as there is not a chat feature available. So to ask a question, now if you joined via the MS Teams application, you'll click the raise hand icon, which is at the top of your screen. You'll be given audio access by the facilitator. Then you'll need to click your microphone at the top of the screen to unmute to ask your question. If you're joining via the phone, you will select star 5 to raise your hand. Then you will be given audio access by the facilitator. Then you'll press star 6 to unmute and ask your question. Next slide, please. Okay. We have some helpful tips for questions today during the Q&A. We'd like you, if you would, please only ask one question each time you raise your hand. And keep your questions directed to the topics that are presented today. And we will attempt to get everyone's questions answered during the Q&A session. However, if we run out of time and do not get to your question, or that the questions are, specific in nature, just go ahead and email the IN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Also, we have closed captions available for the call today. Now, to view closed captions using the Microsoft Teams application, if you would look at the top of your screen and look for More, you'll click on the ellipses and select Language and Speech, then select Turn on Live Captions. Now, if you're using the closed caption link that was provided in the GovDelivery message, just copy the link and then post that in the browser to view the closed captions. Now, on to the agenda. Next slide, please. All right. Today's agenda topics include announcements, the 2024 end-of-year statistics, the 2025 trial work level SGA and blind SGA amounts, the 2025 ticket payment rates, the October ePay file statistics, ePay reminders, payments help desk reminders, IN payment reminders, and resources. Now, after the topics are covered, we're going to move to the interactive Q&A session. And this is where everyone will have an opportunity to ask your questions and the topics presented. Now, after the Q&A session ends, we'll probably do that around 2 minutes remaining in the call. We will provide the closing remarks and the next call date. Now, thank you again to everyone for joining today. Next slide, please. At this time, it is my pleasure to hand off to the Ticket Program Manager's IN Payments Manager, Nicole Black. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you, Catherine. Hello,
That's me.
everyone. Happy New Year. I know it's February, but Happy New Year. Thank you for all joining us. So I'll start off today with our announcements. The 2025 payment resources are now available. And please note that the 2025 payments at a glance, the 18-month look-back tool, and the monthly earnings estimator are available for download in the resource document section of the Your Ticket to Work website. If you have any questions about your specific payment method, please contact the EN Service team at enservice@ssa.gov. Next slide, please. So in 2024, for the end of year stats, a total of 131,313,968 was paid out. That is a total amount of payments of 183,662 payments made to you all, 61,820 denials, and our most common denial reason was denial code 2. And thank you. The 2025 trial work level SGA amounts are as follows. The trial work level amount for this year is $1,160. The SGA amount is $1,620. And the blind SGA amount is $2,700. The 2025 ticket payment rates are as follows. For milestone outcome payment methods, SSI payments, for phase one milestones, the payment amount will be $1,850. For your phase two milestones, it's $310. And it's also $310 for your outcome payments. For your SSDI ticket holders, those payments for phase one milestones are $1,850. For your phase two milestones and for your outcomes, they are each $555. For the employment networks that are on the outcome-only method of payments, for your SSI ticket holders, the total the dollar amount is $577. And then for your SSDI ticket holders, it's $1,033. For the October ePay file stats, the last ePay file for October was completed in December of 2024. For that ePay file, we processed a total of 10,494 claims. That's 3,132 SSNs that were paid for a total amount paid of $5,959,617. And SSA has started processing the January 2025 ePay file. Next slide. Thank you. These are our ePay reminders. Phase 1, Milestone 4, is paid via ePay, but EANs must still submit payment requests for all Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal, accompanied with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay. EANs must have also passed their annual services and supports review. And the ePay file is processed in SSN order, not provider ID or PID order. Phase 1, Milestone 4, Phase 2 milestones, and outcomes are paid via ePay. EANs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal without evidence of earnings when the EAN portion of the ePay file is processed. Submitting for such payments will slow down the processing and causes duplicate claim months. Next slide. For additional ePay reminders, please allow TPM to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting a payment through the ticket portal. And additionally, an initial PI violation will remove the EN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file. During this time, the EN must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. For example, if your employment network violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed in February, they will be removed from the next ePay file. Next slide. On to the payment help desk reminders. Please remember that for payment inquiries, all communication regarding ticket holders and employment networks must be with suitable EN staff. That would include the approved portal users, program contacts, payment contact, signatory authority. For personally identifiable information, or PII, if an EN needs to submit PII, this submission must be done via fax or mail. ENs must not send any PII via email. EINs should also use the SSA reference number when emailing payment inquiries to the Payments Help Desk. Next slide, thank you. The Help Desk staff cannot provide the following information. That information includes anything regarding to a ticket holder's benefits, inquiries, or disputes, information on the earnings that are shown in SSA's records, claim months needed to complete the proof of relationship, information regarding the ticket holder's current entitlement, or the claim months for the payment. But what they can help you with is giving you additional information regarding the reason for your denial, and they can provide you with an explanation for an outreach email. Next slide. Transitioning to EIN payment reminders. EINs can view denial comments in the portal. When you're in your portal, you can click on the list payments already made to me link from the main menu. And then from there, you can select the word denied that's highlighted in the screenshot below. And then under the which is under the payment decision column for the reference number that's in question. Next slide, please. When you click on that hyperlink, a dialog box will open for you to view the denial reason comment that elaborates on the specific denial code for that ticket holder or that payment request. So in this example, the action for the denial reason, it does show that the beneficiary is receiving federal cash benefits, and then the comment that is included is the ticket holder is in current pay status. Outcome payments cannot be processed when the ticket holder is receiving federal cash benefits. Next slide, please. An additional reminder is the information that is required on pay stubs for us to use them as your evidence of earnings and to be able to key the earnings provided. So all pay stubs must include the ticket holder name, the employer name, the pay period start and end date, the date that the check was paid. The pay stub should include FICA withholdings, that includes your Social Security and your Medicare taxes, and then it should also include gross and net earnings. Next slide. Okay, our resources that are available to you all. You can reach us by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, toll free at 866-949-3687 or TTY at 866-833-2967. Option one is for the beneficiary help desk. Option two will get you to the EIN payments help desk. And option three will send you to the systems help desk. Gov delivery messages. Please save this email address that's listed below to your safe senders list so that these messages do not go into your spam or junk email boxes. This is how we can communicate with you all any important updates or information that's needed for the Ticket to Work program. That email address is tickettowork@subscriptions.ssa.gov. And then finally, you can always email us any questions you have. So for payment issues, you're going to email EIN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And for questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the ticket portal, it's EIN Systems Help at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. As another reminder for you all, any payment topics that you have that you would like us to discuss in this forum, we invite you to share those topics so that we can make sure that we are providing you with the information that you are interested in discussing. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. Please send your topics to the EIN Payments Help Desk at EINPaymentsHelpDesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And I'll hand it back over to Catherine to start our Q&A session.
Thank you, Nicole. Those were some great updates. Now, at this time, we would like to transition to the interactive Q&A session. Next slide, please. Well, that's the good slide. Never mind. Before we get started, we have a few helpful tips to assist everyone during this interactive Q&A session. Again, just ask one question each time you're called upon. Ask questions that are topic related from the ones that were presented today. And then keep your questions general in nature. And if you have case specific questions, remember that you can email the EM Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And also, before we begin, we'll just give you a quick reminder of how to ask a question. So if you're on Teams on the meeting today in the MS Teams application, you'll click the raise hand icon. You'll be given audio access as well as video access if you like. And then click your microphone at the top of the screen to unmute and ask your question. Now, if you have joined via the phone, you'll need to click *5 to raise your hand. We're going to give you audio access, and then you'll just click *6 to unmute and ask your question. All right, we're going to head over to Jalen and see if we have anyone with a raised hand. Jalen?
Hi, Catherine. We do have Kathy here. Kathy, your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Thank you. The question I have is something that happened once a few months ago, and it just happened recently. So I figured I'll ask it here. I have two ticket holders out of 46 that we have all together. And both of them, one 6 months ago and one now a month or so ago, the tickets were terminated without the individuals knowing anything about it. I was able to get one of them on the phone with Social Security so we could have like a three-way call to try to figure out what was going on. But once this still happened, but once the second one happened, I did notice that something I discovered out of both is that they are both involved in overpayments right now. If a ticket holder is working above SGA, the ticket's been paying regularly for a couple of years, but the person ends up having overpayments, this is SSI specific, does their ticket get terminated because of that?
Hi, Kathy. Thank you for your question. So this is one that's not specifically related to the topics we had today. So I would recommend for this, reach out to Ian Service or...
I've tried. I thought I'd throw it out here. I thought you might say that, but thank you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Thank you, Kathy.
Nice try.
Thank you, Kathy. Jalen, do we have anyone else with their hands raised? I see we have Alexis.
Hi, Kathy. There sometimes is a systematic issue that does happen with terminating tickets. Before going and reaching out with the beneficiary, you can also email the help desks for the specific person, and we can look into it to see if it was erroneous termination, and if it is, we can have it corrected for you.
Thank you, Alexis. All right, Jalen. I'm sorry, go ahead, Nicole.
I was going to say thank you, Alexis, as well.
All right, Jalen, can you identify our next question?
Yes, we have Brian. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone and unmute. Activate video if you'd like and ask your question.
Hi, yeah, I have an odd question. I have a client whose employer does not put the pay start and pay end dates on the pay stub, just the pay date. But they did give me, the employer gave me, a spreadsheet that lists for this pay date, the pay period begin, the pay period end. I tried submitting that along with the pay stubs, and it was still denied because there were no pay period start and pay period end. Is there a workaround for this?
Hi, Brian. Thank you for your question. I wanted to make sure that I captured that properly. So you have a ticket holder whose employer does not provide you with the necessary information on the pay stubs required for us to utilize those as evidence of earnings?
Yep.
All right. So with that, we would need a supplemental earnings statement from that employer or an employer-prepared earnings statement, and that would help us to be able to know exactly how to key those earnings properly so that they're entered in the system the right way for that ticket holder.
So the spreadsheet that the employer sent me with all that information is irrelevant?
Unfortunately, that's not a document that's been approved to use. We do need to, the documents that are approved to use when we're looking for supplemental information to be able to use those pay stubs would be the supplemental earnings statement or the employer prepared earnings statement.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nicole. Now, Brian, to access that, you'll need to go to the resources section and look under forms on the Your Ticket to Work website. Thank you again. All right, Jalen.
Yes, we have Amanda. Sorry, Amanda, your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, I have a question about submitting for a P1M3 payment. The first two were denied due to prior earnings, and when I called the ticket helpline, they helped guide what month to choose for the milestone 3, which I submitted for, and that was denied based on the wrong month. So how do I get better guidance on what month to bill for? Because I don't want to just keep guessing and submitting payments and having them get denied.
Hi, Amanda. How are you? Thank you for your question. So this does sound like it's something case specific. If I could ask you to send an email to the payment help desk with the work case numbers in question, ask them to send that to my attention specifically, and then I'll be able to take a look at it and see what I can do to help you out.
Perfect. Thanks, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amanda, and thank you, Nicole. All right, Jalen, next up.
Yes, we have Michael. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon to some of you. My question is, we had a outcomes payment we submitted, and we had the gross wages, we had the paycheck stubs, but because the taxes weren't taken out, they denied the payment. But I don't understand that, because you're looking at gross wages, not net anyway. So why would it matter if the taxes were taken out or not? And what can we do to get this fixed? I don't understand that at all.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for your question. So this also sounds like something that is case specific, and I would need to take a look at that one specifically to see what is going on, and that I could give you a better answer. So I would ask you to do the same as I asked Amanda. Email the payment help desk with that reference number, and in the email, just ask them to forward it to me so that I can take a look at it and I can take a deeper dive and figure out what's going on to help you out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, Michael, one more thing. What's your EN name so I can make a note for myself? Sorry about that.
Not a problem. Pride Industries.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Nicole. Jalen, do we have another attendee with questions?
Yes, we have Melinda. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute. Activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi. I just had a quick question about milestone 1 payments. If the earnings are already established in the portal, we just need POR to submit those requests, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Melinda.
Hi. And then pay stubs are considered proof of relationship, correct? So if they're missing maybe the employer name, would that still qualify for proof of relationship, or would we still need to fill out a POR form?
That's a really good question, Melinda. I'm going to go ahead and restate it. So for your phase 1 milestone 1s, and if it shows in the system that the earnings are verified and you are submitting pay stubs as proof of relationship, but they happen to be missing a key piece of information, will we accept them?
Yes.
All right. So the answer is yes, we would accept them as proof of relationship, but we would not be keying those earnings because we don't have everything that we need.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
That is acceptable. You're welcome.
Thank you, Melinda. Thank you again, Nicole. All right, Jalen, I see we have another raised hand.
Yes, we have Jared. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Jared.
Good afternoon. Hello, how's everybody doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. Yes, my question was during the slides. If you could go over it again about phase ones through phase three milestones. What I did catch was it was accepted through the portal, but one of the milestones had to be accepted through ePay. I don't know if I caught that 100%. I was wondering if you could go over that briefly.
Absolutely. Hi, Jared. How are you?
Excellent. Hello.
So Jared's question is referencing which payments have to be requested through the portal during ePay. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so your phase one milestones 1, 2, and 3 all must be requested through the ticket portal during ePay, and they need to be accompanied with the appropriate proof of relationship for that case. Your phase one milestone 4, your phase two milestones, and your outcomes are paid through ePay, and those are the cases that we ask you to hold on to. Unless you specifically have evidence of earnings to substantiate that payment, we want you to hold on so that we can make those payments through ePay if they are available to you, so that we do not risk having a duplicated claim month. Did that help?
I think so. So ePay is, I guess I may use the right term. When I go through the Ticket to Work portal and I submit that, is that an ePay or is that through the portal? Are those two different things?
So when you request your payments through the portal, that is a payment request that is initiated by the employment network. So that is separate. ePay is done. It's a manual process that is facilitated through SSA once a quarter. And it is a file that is generated. We go through each SSN one by one to see if there's payments available based on the earnings that are in SSA's database.
Okay.
Did that help?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Nicole. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, Jalen.
Yes, we have Amanda. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, so I have a procedural question. If an ePay file finishes and we believe we were owed a phase one milestone 4 or phase two or outcome payment and we didn't receive it, when we go into the portal to request it, do we still have to attach proof of earnings or do we just submit it as like a nudge like, hey, perhaps you should look at this one?
Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to restate this one. The question is, as the employment network, you feel like you should, based on earnings that should be in the system, that you are owed a phase one milestone 4, a phase 2 or an outcome payment, but it did not get captured in ePay. So what should you do as an employment network in order to request this payment?
Yes.
Okay, so if it says earnings proven in the system, you can submit that payment and we will investigate it further. But the best practice would be if you have those evidence of earnings to justify or validate that payment request should be made or the payment should be made to you, you can go ahead and submit that payment with your evidence of earnings and we will process it accordingly.
Okay. Because I had one where we did receive a payment, but then the next time around, we did not. And so I thought, oh, I just submit it without anything attached to it, and it got denied. So I will go back and make sure I add those to it.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. And again, for you also, if this is something case-specific that you want us to take a deeper look into, same thing, go ahead and email the payment help desk with that reference number and ask them to send it to my attention, and I'll take a look at it.
Very appreciated.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Nicole. Looking at the time, we have almost a half hour left for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, if you're via the phone, press *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. And just press *6 to unmute yourself. If you're in Teams, you just need to raise your hand and we'll give you audio and video access. And just click the microphone to unmute. And Jalen, I see we have a raised hand.
Yes, we have Tina. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Thank you. My question is about self-employment. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. You're doing great.
Perfect. Just making sure I did the mic right. Anyway, I've got an individual who's self-employed, and we've received phase one milestone two payment on her, and then she moved to outcome. My question is, she is now beyond the 2 years of being able to submit for payments, and we're behind because it's self-employment, have to wait for taxes. How do we go about capturing 2023 for payments when she's finally not in current pay? And we're working with the local office to get that straightened out.
Hi, Tina. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. Good.
So this one is also a little case specific. Since you're coming up on the age claim or the 24 months, are you already there?
Yeah.
You should go ahead and request a payment for the applicable claim month so that that's documented in the system, and continue to work with your field office to try to get the benefit status updated properly, and work with your ticket holder to make sure that they are doing what they need to do on their end to get their income reported to SSA with their tax returns.
Okay, so we've already submitted payment. It's been denied. So I've done that part. So now it's just working with the local office and the beneficiary to make sure that this gets tidied up in their office. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Tina.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Nicole. All right, Jalen, I see another raised hand.
Yes, we have Amanda. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Good afternoon, Amanda.
Hi. I just had a follow-up question. The two people prior to me, she had asked about requesting payments for, I think it was somebody whose ticket was deactivated. Is there a time frame of when you can put in the claim for tickets after deactivated?
It is also case specific. So we do have the 24 month age claim rule. And then there's also a specific amount of time that an EN can request a payment once the ticket's been unassigned. But it depends on if it was unassigned by the EN, if it was terminated by SSA, or if it was unassigned by that ticket holder. And Alexis is here.
Are you referring to if a ticket is terminated and you don't believe it's correct?
No, one time it was a ticket holder requesting to change providers, and one time it was on our end requesting.
If you're talking about unassigned tickets based on a beneficiary or EN, there are specific rules about that. I was going to comment that if you believe the ticket was terminated or unassigned erroneously, then there's no real time frame on that. We can look into it. But if it was done by the beneficiary and or the EN, there are specific rules to follow in regards to that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Alexis and Nicole. All right, Jalen, I see we have another raised hand.
Yes, we have Samantha. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate the video if you'd like to ask your question.
Good afternoon, hi. Samantha. Hi.
Good afternoon. I wanted to ask, when we have a client that requests an assignment and they fill out the form, the unassignment form that they would like to be unassigned, so we fax that in, showing that it's their choice to be unassigned, how many payments are we eligible for after that unassignment?
Hi, Samantha. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So that, it depends, honestly. It depends on additional information that's provided by you, the employment network, after that ticket has been unassigned by the ticket holder. and the certification of services would need to be accompanied with a payment request. We'll review the case, and then we would let you know how many additional payments you would be eligible for. If you tell me what your EN is, I can make sure that we get you the information, same to you, Amanda, on those specific guidelines in the TPA. So who are you with?
Full Circle Employment Solutions.
Got it. All right. We'll make sure you. Who's that?
Kim.
Oh, where'd you come from? There you are.
Yeah, I just have some account. I think if we can, the general rule for that, I know it's very specific based on services, but I think just the general rule for ENs can know when a ticket is, because we've had a couple of questions. So like we said, and I think what Alexis was saying, if a ticket is unassigned by an EN, then of course the EN is no longer entitled to receive any payments after unassignment. If the ticket is unassigned by the ticket holder, then the EN, based on services provided, the EN may be entitled up to 12 payments. And that is up to 18 months after ticket unassignment. But like Nicole said, that will be based on services that you have provided to the ticket holder. So you can still submit for payment, but you would have to submit evidence of earnings. You would need to submit a certification of services form. All of that is located on the website. So you would have to provide a list of detailed services that you are provided. So you have a time frame. So you have to submit for these payments within 18 months of the ticket unassignment date. And SSA may pay you up to 12 payments, right? That's in a perfect world, right? 18 months after on assignment, up to 12 payments, but then there are other factors like if the ticket is reassigned. But that's just the rule that there could be possible payments if it's unassigned by the ticket holder. But if you as the EN, if you unassign the ticket, you're basically saying I am no longer assigned. I'm no longer providing services to this ticket holder, so you will not be eligible for payments after that month of unassignment. So that's just remember that if you want to sign it, then you cannot submit for any claim months after that unassignment month. Hopefully that helps. But like Nicole said, if you want to reach out to her, but if additional payments, if the ticket holder unassigned it, will be based on services provided. So hopefully that helped.
It did. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Kim. And thank you, Nicole. All right, Jalen, I see we have another raised hand.
Yes, we have Janine. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Janine. Hello, Janine. Can you hear us?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Nicole. Hi, everybody else. Hey, when you were talking about the categories that you would need to show proof of your services for someone who's unassigned, is there a category that these services need to fall in? And is there a guideline for us to look at so that we can categorize what the services are?
Hi, Janine. Thank you for that question. So, yeah, it's similar to the proof of relationship form that you submit. We're looking for confirmation or proof of the services that you've provided to that ticket holder during the time the ticket was assigned to you. So the certification of services form is what you would complete, and it specifies the information that would need to be shared in order for us to consider additional payments for you. And I will follow up with you on that as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. Because we know I call it the logging and blogging, where you're writing out all the services that you've done when you've met with somebody. I know that, you know, benefits counseling would fall into one, you know, case management, advocacy. So that was just wondering what guidelines would help us to, you know, do the logging and blogging and categorize what they do fall in for a history.
Yes, that's an excellent question. So it does, it aligns with the proof of relationship. We're looking for the actual services that you've provided to that ticket holder over the course of time that you worked with them to be able to determine what it is. So yes, it does fall under benefits counseling. What's the word I'm looking for? When you're helping them with their job situations, as far as communicating with their employers, any type of, the word is just slipping my mind right now.
I help you out. Use your IWP as your guide. You identify, that's your agreement. When you meet with your client and you identify services, right, that's going to help them meet their short-term and long-term goals. So you identify services, and it's not limited to that, right? Because as you're working with your client, there may be new services needed. So you can start with that as your guide, because like Nicole was saying, it's similar to your proof of relationship. And if I can offer a difference, when you're using your proof of relationship, right, and for your phase one milestones 1 through 3, we're looking for those payments. We're looking at a specific time. That's a specific window of time when you're asking for your phase one milestones 1, 2, and 3. When you're looking for your certification of services, once the ticket has been unassigned by the ticket holder, we're looking at the entire picture of services. So we're looking at the duration of ticket assignment. So yeah, so usually when you're looking at a guide, instead of putting it in a category, look at your IWP and the services that were agreed upon with you and your ticket holder. Let that be your base. Let that be your guide. So we want to see everything that you provided. So that would be, instead of kind of putting it in a box, if you will, just everything that you provided for your ticket holder is what we will look at.
Okay, so like when I'm calling somebody or somebody calls me, I will head it as call from beneficiary, and then I will put in there everything we did. Would it be easier for the identifying what those services fall in if I change the headers to be more specific, such as benefits counseling, case management, advocacy, all of those? Would it be easier for that to be identified if I had to submit something like that?
I would say yes. I mean, I think if you have to put it in some type of way, I think it would help. But I think we're going to do a detailed search, right, just to look at the services you provided. But yeah, if you're going to put it into a group, I don't think it would hurt. Let me just say that. I don't think it would hurt.
Okay, yeah, wonderful.
To piggyback on what Kim said, it definitely wouldn't hurt, because we do, right, read them line for line. We analyze everything. But just for you to make sure that you're capturing all the information needed to give us the best picture of what you have done with this ticket holder, if that's helpful to you, I would definitely encourage it.
Well, I'm very detailed, and I didn't know if I was doing overload for you guys or just keep it up. Just be more detailed on my notes. Okay.
Not at all, Janine.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you, Kim and Nicole. All right, Jalen, I see another raised hand.
Sorry, I was muted. We have Kim. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, thank you. Let me just run down a couple scenarios, because I'm hearing I know that some beneficiaries will request to be unassigned, and then we also have the option to unassign them too, especially with that two-way communication if they're not maintaining their, not maintaining the engagement. So if the EN is removing the client because of, say, lack of engagement, then we would use the portal to unassign them. But if a client asks to be unassigned, do we not unassign them through that portal too?
Hi, Kim. Thank you for your question. The payments are handled differently. So if an EN unassigns a ticket holder via the portal, your last eligible claim month is the month prior to ticket unassignment. If a ticket holder unassigns their ticket, there's a different way that the additional payments are reviewed. So for just, a best practice would be, if your ticket holder wants to unassign the ticket, have them fill out that unassignment form, submit that, mm-hmm. and that way let it be unassigned that way versus you as the EN going in and unassigning them in the portal.
Okay. And so when we would, if we would help them fax that request to unassign, is that when we would attach the certification of services? Or who?
No, the unassignment is independent of submitting the certification of services. So that's a different process. That is faxed via the manual payment request option. So, and I will also get you the information you need. So which EN are you with?
I'm with CareerSource Suncoast in Manatee, Sarasota County, Florida.
CareerSource Suncoast?
Yes.
All right. I wrote it down. I got you. So I'll send you that information as well as it relates to unassignments and what those process steps are to help you out there.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Nicole. All right. Jalen, I see we have another raised hand.
Yes, we have Clark. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Clark. Hi, Clark. If you'll click your microphone up top, that'll open it up and you can ask your question, sir.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes, hear you great. Loud
the
and clear.
The question got me just with the question, I was kind of confused. I haven't unassigned a ticket holder in a while. I thought you got two options in the portal. You can say that the client requested it, and from what Nicole was saying, would you still be in a situation where you looked at as you unassigned it? If you click the option where you're saying that the ticket holder requested to be unassigned from.
I hope. Hi, Clark. Thank you for. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying I hope that was clear.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your question. I was about to ask for Alexis to chime in as it relates to how the portal looks from the EN side.
The portal does not have an option for an EN to unassign a ticket saying that the beneficiary requested it. So in order for the unassignment to be labeled as beneficiary unassignment, you have to fax the form. If you want to label the unassignment as the EN has decided to unassign the ticket for whatever varying reason you have chosen, which we don't need to know, then you can do it in the portal and it will be labeled as the EN requested the unassignment. The portal no longer has the option for the EN to take the task on behalf of the beneficiary.
Oh, thank you. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, because I thought you were saying it, I was just wondering if you were saying it was there and now it's no longer there. Okay.
I believe it was there at one point, but we have removed it so that the beneficiaries can take, take the action themselves, since that is they want to do it. Therefore, they should take the task.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I needed. I'm sorry. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Clark.
Okay. Thank you, Clark. Thank you, Alexis and Nicole. Okay, Jalen, I see we have a couple of raised hands.
Yes, we have Lori. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Good afternoon, Lori.
Hi, this is Lori Popejoy from Goodwill's Ticket to Work program in Washington State. And what I'm asking is more about the e-processing that's occurring in January, or you're calling it the January. What date did that start?
The e-pay file, hi, Lori. Sorry about that. Thank you for your question. The e-pay file it started processing. We got the file on Friday.
On Friday. Do we normally have an announcement or an email that comes out?
Yes, the gov delivery should go out today or tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So I have
that. Yeah, okay. You haven't missed it.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lori. All right, Jalen, who is our next participant with question?
Yes, we have Paul. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
I had a quick question. I already kind of know the guidance, but I can't find the source of the guidance. So whenever I have a self-employed person, so like a 1099 client, if I recall correctly, we wait for their established earnings to show up on file after they've submitted their taxes, and then we bill on established earnings. I could be wrong on that, but I just couldn't find it in the Red Book or any policy that actually states it on paper.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for your question, and you are correct. So when you have a self-employed ticket holder or someone who receives a 1099, you will have to wait for their earnings to be recorded and validated on SSA's records, and then at that time you could submit a payment request for that ticket holder to get the payments that you should receive.
Great. Is that stated anywhere? Just because I'm basically, I want to screenshot it and send it to one of my reps so that they have the policy for their own guidance.
I will ask Kim or Alexis to help me with this one.
I do not know right off if it's stated, but we definitely can take this offline and check to make sure. And great. If we get your information, we can follow up.
Great. Wonderful. Thanks. I'm assuming someone will reach out privately for my information.
Yes. Paul, what Ian are you with?
America Works of New York, Inc.
All right. Got it. I will follow up with you.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Just want to let everyone know we have about 7 minutes left for today's meeting. If you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll just pause now. Okay. Jalen, I see we have two individuals with questions. Go ahead.
Yes, we have Jackie. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Jackie.
And you do not want to see this video. I wanted to make a comment about a person who had asked a question earlier. It was Michael. I think it's Bright Industries about not being able to be paid if there's no taxes taken out. We have a similar situation, and it's actually an IRS rule that if a family member is taking care of another, like for example, severely disabled person, and are paid through the disability administration system, whatever it is in your state, taxes are not required to be taken out, no taxes whatsoever, and they are considered an employee of their family member. So we have had to fight this because I have a couple of people in situations like that, and I just wanted that broadly known to, you know, just raise awareness of that particular IRS rule. They will never have to take out taxes from these folks if they're working to help with job development or socialization or any kind of thing they're working with their family member on. And they are making over SGA and reaching towards independence, which is the goal of Ticket to Work. So I just wanted to share that broadly. And thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jalen, I see we have another raised hand.
We have Selena. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Selena.
Hello. I'll try to make it quick. I know I have like 1 minute. So when we submit for payment, we have been using eFax to submit the supporting documentation, and it's always coming out that it is not received. Troubleshooting and calling the help desk, it comes to find out that when we're e-faxing, our provider is automatically attaching a cover sheet. So is the only way to troubleshoot that would be to mail in the supporting documentation? Since we only have e-fax, we don't have a manual fax machine.
Hi, Selena. Alexis is going to assist you with that.
Selena, check with your e-fax provider. There should be a way to disable that fax cover page.
Because our IT department opted not to do that for all business faxing.
Unfortunately, with that cover page, that is exactly why it's not coming through.
Okay.
And that barcode cover page must be the first page of the fax. Many, you know, almost all, I would say people, if, you know, if 90% are using e-faxes. And in order for it to come through, you will have to disable that, you know, that cover page that is going on automatically. If not, there is no other way to get that to us besides mailing it. Because the cover page, the barcode has to be the first cover page. You know, maybe there's a way you can, you know, I know it's on there permanently, but maybe there's a way you can find out if you can disable it, you know, for certain situations. Because otherwise, you know, you're going to be stuck mailing things for a very long time.
Yes. Okay.
And
thank
that, you
know, so
there's
much.
No other option. Hold on. Katie might be chiming in here, too.
I just want to add to make sure it's clear. Please do not fax to that number on the cover page unless the cover page is the first page. You will be faxing to an actual fax machine and you will be sending PII to the incorrect location. So please do not attempt to fax to that number on that fax cover page without having that fax cover page as the first one. So as you just mentioned, you're having an issue because, you know, you're faxing to that phone number with an incorrect cover page. So
yeah, it's just coming,
you know,
out.
Stop
blank.
Doing that.
No, it's coming out blank because it's taking the body of the email as the cover page. So it's being not received on your end, according to the payments help desk.
No, the fax is going somewhere, as Katie stated.
Yeah,
it's going
it's,
to like
it's,
a Denver
a real
region
fax number,
fax machine.
So, yeah. So please just make sure that that has to be. That's why we ask you to, you know, like Alexis is saying about the software, you know, we really need that very first page of the barcode has to be first.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Selena. Thank you, Katie, Alexis, and Nicole. Okay. We have approximately 2 minutes left if anyone else has a question. And I'll pause. Okay, Jalen, I see we have another question. Couple.
Yes, Casey, your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, how is everyone?
Doing good. Thank you.
Good. I just want to tell you guys, great job.
Thank you.
I appreciate everything that you do. And I love these EN payment calls. It's always very informative. So just want to say thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Casey.
No problem.
Okay, Jalen, who is our next individual?
Yes, Tina, your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, thanks again. So I've got a quick question here on somebody that's working abroad. I believe we can submit for payment with this individual, but I was a little uncertain about how do we look at SGA or trial work level or SGA level earnings? Is it based on the rate that they're being paid in out of country or US dollars?
Hi, Tina. I'm going to defer to Kim, Alexis, or Katie with that one because that is a new one for me.
Me too.
That sounds awfully specific. I would send it to the help desk so we can all discuss it.
Okay, yes. Absolutely. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. Yeah.
Thank you, Tina. Well, all right. I see no more raised hands, and we are at that time, everyone. So if we could go to the next slide, please. We'd like to thank everyone who participated today with your questions. And Social Security, and Nicole, the ticket program manager. Our next EN payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, May the 6th, from 1 to 2 p.m. Remember, if you have any suggestions for, you know, any topics for the next EN payments call, just go ahead and email EN payments helpdesk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Again, thank you and have a great day. This call is now concluded.